Ladies and gentlemen, here we are, Leo and Chrissy Zagami. This is the Leo Zagami Show, Saturday, May 11th of the year of the Lord, 2024. Here we are for the first part of the show on YouTube and the second part of the show in exclusivity only on Rumble and X to avoid censorship, of course, and later on also on Band.video, Telegram, and wherever you can reach us. But remember, it's very important to subscribe to our Rumble channel, because you will miss the second part of the show, which is really the best part of the show.
At least you'll get the notifications, unlike YouTube.
Yes. People are actually very satisfied with our live shows on Rumble. Here we go! It has been a week of information warfare, a lot of things happening while the Third World War is developing. Hello to our friend Bruce Kodish.
Hi, Bruce.
And our sponsors. Who are our sponsors today?
Okay, Christy? So today our sponsors are, yes, Bruce Kodish, Daniel Estes, and Margarizada Minta. I always get it wrong. Thank you very much, guys. You are the best. Thank you so much. Nobody bought the book this week, so whatever.
Yes.
We got a new one coming out, though.
We have a bunch of books. From
I guess
me,
a couple people bought it.
Christy, you need to purchase our books if you want to sustain our work, support our work. In any case, a new book is about to come out, and that book is a very special one indeed. The only
Do
one
I look to different.
Watch- Yes, because you read my book.
I'm almost done with it.
Yes, guys, the only person who has read this book in the world at the moment is pretty impressed with it.
That means I am the smartest girl in the whole wide world.
Volume 10, guys.
I
volume
like that.
10. The title, no, because the title of Volume 10 is important. So for the people to understand what we're talking about, Confessions of an Illuminati, Volume 10, Islamic Freemasonry and the Secret Societies Behind Eternal Conflict in the Middle East. Christy, have you ever heard of anything I talked about in Volume 10?
No. I
so,
haven't.
That's it, guys.
I have all those names going through my head.
But you.
It's very, I don't even want to say. So you guys got to get this book. I'm not going to say a word.
It's going to shock the world. I think after Salman Rushdie and his satanic verses, this book could really shock the world.
For real. We need a shock. Sick of this world.
Absolutely. So welcome to the Leo Zagami Show with Leo and Christy. If you want to support us, you have the GoFundMe page on top of the screen. You have also the Cash App handle at leozagami.com, together with our latest articles, including the one which pertains to the subject, the main subject of today. Top Catholic theologians demand Pope Francis resign and repent. So
repent for your evil.
I don't think he's gonna ever repent, but here we go. Here we go, guys.
Are we still doing it?
I don't know. Okay.
Oh, come on, you're so
you want that? You like to dance a little more?
I like the whole thing. I'd rather dance the whole show. Okay, I'm sure they want the news now.
Okay.
They dance too much.
Well, you know, it's kind of a particular approach that we like to have.
We're just happy people, that's all.
Happy people. Okay, we want
to.
We
have God in our hearts.
Absolutely. So today there is a lot of news aside for our main topic, but let's start with our main topic, which it's triggered by a message, an invitation that was sent to Pope Francis to resign. And it is in a document. So, Christy, here we have a bit of reading for you. But most of the people who are following us will be quite surprised by the fact that all these important Catholic theologians are asking for the statement of Pope to the resignation of Pope Francis, with a statement, an official statement published at Rorate Caeli. This is a Latin On the Feast of Saint Athanasius on May 2nd, and was then published Urbi et Orbi, meaning for Rome and for the rest of the world, with minor revisions on May 7, 2024. So let's go, guys. There's a lot to talk about in this statement. Also, I would like to show you the article which I published on leozagami.com. We like to be, you know, a little bit naughty in the way we approach things, a bit critic about certain colleagues who have abandoned really the discussion of the Vatican in a pertinent way, and instead seem to enjoy a more distorted version of it. But that's going to be maybe something for later. In the meantime, let me show you the article in question. The Vatican in shock after the Pope is asked to resign by the most influential theologians of the Catholic Church. I like the image here.
Gosh.
Baby Antichrist, Satan, the Pope. Is that the baby Antichrist? We don't know. We don't know. Anyway, You have all the signatories of this document here and their accusations. There are 17 people who have signed this document. Amongst them, we have professors, we have priests, we have mostly academics, because theologians are mostly academics. And the lengthy statement presents a summary of the interaction and dealings of the Pope with several figures of the Catholic Church that have been involved in scandals, and how he has covered up all his scandals. So it is very detailed. As you can notice here, I also published a video of the colleague Jay Dyer, because this guy is an Orthodox, but he loves to talk about the Catholic Church without really knowing much about the Catholic Church. We are kind of disappointed by that, but whatever.
I don't care anymore. I really don't care anymore.
Yes, really. People are
follow what you want.
Follow what you want. Follow what you want. Let me go, though, on the statement in question, so we can discover together who are, because at the end of the day, this statement is basically confirming everything which I wrote in that book, which was my first book in the English language, which I have somewhere over here. I don't know. Francis the Last Pope. It's one of my bestsellers. I have
it's the thinnest one, probably, and, on the end.
Here. This is actually, I think, the first edition of it. And everything...
Yeah. That was your first book that you came out in English,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, that was the first book in the English language.
Brad, he published that one.
He published that one, and it was a bestseller. And actually, it inspired Alex Jones to come to Rome and to film a documentary with me, which started a collaboration which lasted several years. When
the
Alex,
demonic possession of the Vatican
exposed,
that was the thing,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, demonic possession of the Vatican, when he still wanted to expose the Vatican. It seems that these days he's not really in line with my Vatican exposure. However, here we have this statement, which includes the crimes of Pope Francis, or the alleged crimes of Pope Francis, what he violated, the protections of criminals, sex offenders, and protection of religious superiors who themselves protect criminal sex offenders. So here, there is some serious allegations. Casey, would you like to read this part of the statement?
Okay. Bishops and religious superiors who protect criminal sexual abusers are themselves criminals. So Pope Francis's protection and promotion of such individuals is itself a protection of criminals. It has a particularly damaging effect because it tells criminals of this stamp that protecting sexual abusers not only is safe with him, but it will also probably lead to promotion. Pope Francis's promotion of these criminals has been so extensive and over so long a time frame, both before and after his election to the papacy, that it can only be seen as a biting disposition and a habitual policy. He has appointed large numbers of the persons to the College of Cardinals, heights of,
these persons
to the College of Cardinals, thus giving them significant influence over the election of the next pope, and has installed them in the commanding heights of ecclesiastical power.
Ecclesiastical power
in the Roman Curia and American Catholic Church.
To synthesize it and to word it with the more down-to-earth kind of wording, he basically placed his pedophile mafia in the cardinal seat, so he can then decide who is the next pope in line with his progressive agenda. I think that's pretty outrageous, no? Don't you think so, Christy?
Yeah.
So here we go with the other paragraph.
The manner of Pope Francis's protection of these criminals aggravates his offense. He has repeatedly and brazenly lied about his actions and slandered victims of these crimes. In addition to the specific cases recorded below, it should be added that Pope Francis abolished the moderately effective procedures for dealing with cases of sexual abuse of minors that had been instituted by Pope Benedict the what?
The 16th, Ratzinger, Pope Ratzinger.
And replace them with the ineffective regulations, personnel, and organization that brought to a halt with frequent public pronouncements about the supreme importance of bringing sexual abuse to an end.
No, throughout the process of effectively dealing with sexual abuse in the church, I missed that line. Yes, Francis accompanied the sabotage of justice with free and pronouncements. So basically, he has sabotaged the church. And then Pope Francis had a record of protecting sexual abuse before he became Pope, even when he was Archbishop of.
But I heard that from you in your books.
All this is already stated in the book I published many years ago. So that's why I'm saying finally, we have a bunch of academics who are basically saying the same things I wrote in my book. I mean,
and you were the first one that exposed this stuff.
It was unheard of. Yes, at the time it was unheard of. At the time I got a lot of criticism, but now finally,
yeah, we got basically kicked out of Italy for it.
Well, we had to run out of Italy because otherwise I would risk.
Well, the Pope couldn't stand you in Rome anymore.
Absolutely. Now, who are these figures that they are criticizing? For example, Cardinal Gottfried Danels defended the catechist textbook Rock, which was used in Belgium under his authority and which promoted pedophilia, and refused to have it altered or removed. He acted to protect the pedophile Bishop Roger Bagluve after it became known that Bagluve sexually abused his own nephew, beginning with the nephew who was 5 years old. When the nephew, then an adult, asked Danels to take some action against Bagluve, Danels refused, told the nephew to keep quiet about the abuse, and told the nephew that he should acknowledge his own guilt. So, I mean, this is really incredible stuff. These actions were public knowledge in 2010. Cardinal Danels stood at the side of Pope Francis on the balcony of St. Peter's when the Pope made his first public appearance after his election. Pope Francis named him as one of his personal appointments to both the first and second synod of the family. So even put him in charge of the family, a pedophile. At his death in 2019, Pope Francis praised him as a zealous pastor who served the church with dedication. Yes, I mean, so let's continue. You can read this one. Cardinal Joseph de Kessel.
In 2014, Cardinal de Kessel, and don't correct me, I'll do it right, and Bishop of Bruges appointed Father Tom.
Bruges.
Oh my God! You want to read it?
No, because Bruges is a place in Belgium, so that's why it has a French pronunciation.
Okay. Oh, shut up! Then Bishop of Bruges appointed Father Tom Flamez as pastor after he had been convicted of sexual abuse. He did not remove Father Anton Stragler from ministry until 2015, although Stragler's crimes were known to the diocese in 2004. Pope Francis chose Bishop de Kessel as Archbishop de Montchalin Brussels, Michelin Brussels in November 2015 and named him a cardinal in November 2016.
So instead of punish them, he rewards them. This is what we go back to what we said at the beginning of all this statement, you know, that basically he rewards the pedophiles instead of punishing them. You have a Cardinal Reinhard Marx admitted to having covered up many sexual abuse cases when he was Bishop of Trier and offered the resignation to Pope Francis in 2021, giving this cover-up as the reason. Pope Francis refused his resignation. And Marx continues as the Metropolitan Archbishop of Munich and Freising. I'm wondering if Marx is a relative Karl Marx, German. Okay, then we have Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor. This is another of these controversial figures. Casey, you can read this.
In 2008, a woman told English church authorities that O'Connor had sexually abused her when she was between 13 and 14 years old. The woman had previously reported being sexually abused by another English priest from ministry after allegations of, another English priest, Father Michael Hill, who was subsequently convicted of this crime in a British court. Hill had earlier been removed from ministry after allegations of sexual abuse of minors. But Murphy O'Connor, then Bishop of Arundel and Brighton, had reinstated Hill to ministry by naming him as chaplain at Gatwick Airport.
Ready to leave.
Right
there, at the arrival or when you're leaving, Gatwick Airport. Hill continued to abuse minors in his post. So even when he was in Gatwick Airport, he was abusing minors. I mean, in 2013, Pope Francis instructed Cardinal Gerbert Ludwig Müller to drop the investigation of Murphy O'Connor for sexual abuse. So don't investigate him. That was what happened. And then we have Cardinal
Oscar. There's so many of them.
I mean, this is a list. Of course, it includes also the infamous Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, the defrocked cardinal.
Was that the guy that was in charge of the finances? McCarrick?
Was he the one that went back to Rome? That was another one.
Oh, that was another one.
That was another. I mean, we have so many of them. The list goes on and on. You can see it's really full. And it's not even, I think it's not even the whole list of all
Then
we have the guy I exposed with Alex Jones because he participated to that sex orgy at the Holy Inquisition building, the Congregation of the Martyrs of Faith, Cardinal Francisco Cocco Palmiero, who was with cocaine and male prostitutes, busted by the Italian police as he was doing this orgy in 2012. Cocco Palmiero voted against the reduction, to the lay state for sexual abuse. So basically, there was this guy, this pedophile, and he said no. Mauro Inzoli doesn't have to be reduced to the lay state for sexual abuse. So you have to keep him amongst the clergy. And Pope Francis appointed Cocco Palmiero to represent the Vatican at the Sixth Congress of the Leaders of World and Traditional Religion in 2018 and promoted him for Cardinal Deacon to Cardinal Priest in 2020. I mean, it's like over and over again, we have constantly pedophiles who are awarded by Pope Francis. And tell you the truth, reading this list is not even the full list. So it's just like we are in front of...
these are supposed to be priests.
These are priests, but in 2020, for example, Cardinal Jean-Pierre Richard, in 2022, Richard admitted molesting a 14-year-old girl.
It's just so messed up.
He was permitted to keep his status as cardinal, elector, so he can keep
How
on
How can
voting.
They even face God or even go in the church or even pray to God after what they've done? I mean, it's just so, it's shameful. It really is.
It's absolutely absurd what's happening here with all these priests. And it's sad that at the moment, and here we have a Jesuit, Cardinal Luis Ladaria Ferreres, J. This guy, the Congregation of the Doctrine of Faith, received complaints against Father Gianni Trotta in 2009 and 3 years later found him guilty of sexually abusing minors. Archbishop Ladaria wrote to the Congregation for the matter. We also, this is the place where they did the orgies with the gay prostitutes and the cocaine. So, I mean, with the male prostitute and the cocaine. So, I mean, it's it's so crazy. And actually,
this is supposed to be the Vatican.
This is incredible. And I think that it's important that still today in 2024, we are able to denounce these people, to keep on exposing them. I've wrote very much about all this in my books, like I said before, the Pope Francis, the last Pope, but also in volume 7, where I describe how the one world religion is coming together, also thanks to a former Freemason who is now a Monsignor, who works for the Pope, and together with the Muslim world in creating this one world religion. Why they so... listen, guys, I would like to say more, but we are still on YouTube for the first part of the show, and I think that certain things will be able, maybe better said than the second part of the show, because we risk to be banned. That is that's the problem here. Still a lot of censorship on YouTube, so we have to be a little bit contained. But for the second part of the show, I will expose even further these people. Now, like I said, I published an article that you can find on leozagami.com. You can find also the link to download this invitation to resign sent to Pope Francis, this statement, this important statement. I also published other articles that we will be able to discuss today in my show, including a video that shows the Chinese humanoid robots preparing to become the army of the Antichrist. Now, this also will be something that we will broadcast in the second part of the show. But I wanted to discuss, of course, in the first part of the show, it might seem a bit of a paradox because of the subject, something that is to do with censorship. Now, England, Great Britain, the home of George Orwell. George Orwell, who wrote, "Unpopular ideas can be silenced and inconvenient facts kept dark without the need for any official ban." This, of course, it's the author of 1984. "Anyone who challenges the prevailing orthodoxy finds himself silenced with surprising effectiveness." And in England now, in Great Britain, something really strange happened, something really incredible. The actual lawmakers, the politicians, the MPs, the British MPs, have been given a guide that talks about disinformation. And of course, this guide has only partly been made public, but The Guardian has talked about it, has actually published three of the main subjects discussed in this guideline. Now, the first subject, and this is quite incredible, but of course it's also obvious that England, it's a country which has a lot to do with the Great Reset, because it was King Charles, when he was still Prince Charles, one of the main proponents of the Great Reset, together with Klaus Schwab.
You're not pushing Zionism. Somebody says, please don't push Zionism. I mean, I've read the book, so I'm just like laughing at you. You're such a fool.
Yes.
You need to get his book.
I think that people...
Nobody is pushing Zionism.
People who... never been in the Middle East, who never been Muslims, who never been in the Muslim world, who don't understand the Jewish world, because they also have to have an experience within the Jewish world. And I, thank God, had this experience in Rome with one of the oldest Jewish communities. I think that you need to read volume 10 of my Confessions before moving further with the Zionist propaganda that you assume I'm pushing here. Because Zionism is something that was born and immediately sabotaged and hijacked by what we now call labor Zionists, socialist Zionists, who are basically the prevailing faction that controls Israel, unfortunately, and it's the Sabbatean Frankist. It's a product of the Sabbatean Frankist heresy. But that, of course, needs to be understood. Like I said, I'm not going to...
I had to suck up a lot of stuff you know, I had to read stuff that I didn't want to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to read it, and it was hard for me to digest it, but I understood that it was correct. And so, you know, sometimes you have to change your frame of mind. And that's what I did after reading this book, because I was wrong. So if you're wrong, you're wrong. If you're right, you're right. And God knows the truth.
But,
so
but
there's too many people saying lies right now.
Yeah, too many people that don't have a real understanding of the events, because they only assume them from a partial understanding that is taken from the internet, mostly from pages of articles that circulating on the internet, videos of some kind of expert or that. Now, I have been in the Middle East. I have lived the Middle East, and I have had experiences in the Muslim world that I don't think any other person had. Okay. Yeah. I never talk about my experiences in the Muslim world in my prior books. So Christy was pretty surprised herself, because she always heard me talking about some of these things, but I never put them in writing. So it was like very important for me to do it this year. And there is a reason for that that you will understand with the dedication of this book. I'm not going to say more, because this book is about to come out. But what I'm going to reveal in this book is going to silence everybody.
Yep.
Because it involves me also personally. It involves people like Klaus Schwab. It involves leaders of the Muslim world. I don't want to say more, but I think that will be enough to shut up all the people who think they can debunk. Because this book that I'm bringing out not only is based on hard facts, but it brings you also evidence. It brings you documents, photos, history, and the sources are academic, so they are not debunkable from the academic world. And that was also very important for me. Christy had to go through, what is it, like 700 citation footnotes, and everything is, I mean, this book, guys, that is about to come out, it's dangerous. And I'm not saying it's an easy read, but it's dangerous, but it's also important that it comes out now, especially for Americans, especially for people in the Western world who don't really have an understanding of the Middle East, and they will learn a lot about what I've learned in Egypt, in Turkey, and in other parts of the Middle East. So you will understand, I hope, a little bit more. And it's also going to be a shock for the Muslim world, because there is hard evidence there that you can't debunk, that is going to bring a lot of debates around the world. So
I don't think you need to say more.
I don't think to say more, but it is interesting.
Just let everybody
that we are
it.
Still here, you know, discussing, oh, this is Zionist, this other. Why? Because I criticize the Catholic Church. I'm a Zionist. When the Catholic Church is in bed with B'nai B'rit or with the whole Sabbatean Frankist mafia for a long time, I don't think so. I think that they are all part of the same New World Order. They are all part of the same hideous club. So this is very important. Now, guys, like I said, we will move into a new phase soon with this book coming out. And from that moment onwards, I would like to be more present.
I mean, you can't be ignored after this.
No, no, but we'll be more present also with my show.
Oh, us be more present?
Yeah, more present. We will
be
a lot more present. But that
like
will be
that.
Only possible because, of course, there's a problem here. We live in Palm Springs. In the summer, it gets extremely hot. And only putting on the air conditioning and all these lights in the studio and everything, basically, it's economically it's not feasible for us if you don't receive more donations.
Yeah, so we don't receive many donations.
We don't,
I mean, they're like so few. Many scams.
So I hope that you will be able to
donate. But we appreciate the ones we get. Absolutely. And I'm glad to be here. And they're enough to keep us here right now. So I'm happy for that. So thank you, guys. I know it's hard to make
now,
a donation.
Now, for those people...
Everybody's living, you know, paycheck to paycheck right now because everything sucks right now. Nobody has any money. Everybody's had to adjust their spending. I don't even go on Amazon anymore because I can't afford Amazon anymore. I'm trying to find ways to cut costs. I'm doing everything that you guys are doing. So, I mean, we're trying too, and we just want to bring this show to you. So.
But like I said, this book... it's going to be the most controversial book since the Satanic Verses of Salman Rushdie. So this in that kind of context. So just keep that in mind. It's going to be a book that is going to have...
Well, we don't need them to take the power grid out right now. Then, so let's just be quiet about it.
Like I said, we will keep on also here our services open. I mean, we don't require subscriptions. We don't do Patreon. We just are very open about shows. For those people who can't afford it, if they can't afford it, they can't afford it.
But, God knows that, and God sees you, and God loves you. And, you know, if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. But if you can, God sees that too. And if you're watching every week and you've never donated, you need to... reach into your pocket and donate now.
Absolutely.
Because it's not fair for the ones that donate all the time.
Absolutely.
That's it.
So here we move forward with a couple of subjects before going into the core. I mean, we discussed now the statement, which I think was very important to discuss because I don't think other shows have given, you know, once upon a time, when Alex Jones used to have me on InfoWars, this would have been big news, these top Catholic theologians demanding Pope Francis to resign and repent. It seems that now Alex has shifted to other Vatican experts, which are not really Vatican experts, because how can you be a Vatican expert if you are Orthodox, if you are an Orthodox Christian? It's a little bit antithetic. It doesn't work that way. But in any case, we have... made, I think, a good opening and a good service also to Catholics around the world about this new statement that was published recently and an invitation to the Pope to resign. I think he will never resign because once upon a time, I absolutely thought he will resign and he will use the excuse of health reasons. Then... we have discovered that the Pope, a couple of years ago, after discovering about his tumor, his cancer in the colon, whatever he has decided to stay until the end because he wants to, first of all, make sure that he has control of the conclave, of the cardinals that will elect the next Pope before, you know, either resigning or either dying on the job. And dying on the job seems to be now his new approach. Okay? So, you saw the statement. All those cardinals, all those people, the Pope simply has kept on over and over again supporting the Satanists, the pedophiles. And you can justify it maybe once, maybe twice, but then when you see... over and over and over again, him covering up for these pedophiles. I remember there was one guy, he even got him out of Italy inside the Vatican to protect him. Otherwise, he would be arrested in Italian territory immediately, and he died in the Vatican later on. So this is just... the Pope is a false prophet and is aiding the rise of the Antichrist. And is aiding the rise of the Antichrist also during the pandemic, but I don't want to discuss that, otherwise they will bring down the channel because we are still on YouTube. But before we go there, because in the second part of the show we will be able to discuss that, I would like to discuss this increase in the cost of fast food also, because the increase in the cost of fast food is really... something that is ruining the American way, no? The fast food you know, it was important to have a Big Mac meal for $5. And it was,
it's not $5 anymore?
Now it's $18 in some part of America. What? This is truly shocking. I mean, we're talking about McDonald's. We're not talking about
$18
Five
for
Guys
McDonald's?
Or... In-N-Out Burger.
For what?
Check out what this guy is saying, because it makes sense and I think it's important to listen to him.
$18 for this burger? A McDonald's franchise in Connecticut is charging $18 for a Big Mac meal. To some, this is just another sign of food inflation running amok in America. To me, this is about more than just the price of a burger. The cheap hamburger is the classic American food. It's also America's favorite dish. We eat an estimated 50 billion burgers a year, and the vast majority of those come from affordable restaurant chains like McDonald's and Burger King. For the millions of Americans whose idea of dining out is a meal at one of those restaurants, it is their third place. That term was coined by sociologist Ray Oldenburg to describe the social environment where people are most likely to spend time after home and work. Now, you can get a cheap burger in plenty of places in New York for $2.55 or even less, but that's not our third place. In small towns, especially in poor and middle-income neighborhoods, a McDonald's can serve as a community center where people build and foster physical social networks. It can be a public square where people break free from their social media bubbles and encounter a wider range of ideas. Now, already fewer than 10% of people who eat McDonald's food are actually dining in a McDonald's. That's down from 25% before the pandemic. And the CEO of McDonald's has already said that making his burgers more affordable is going to be a big priority this year. But if fewer Americans are going to their third places, there will be consequences for society at large. For one, at a time of profound political division, exacerbated by polarizing influences of an election year, we may need our third places more than ever. And a side of fries couldn't hurt.
Okay. Christy, I would like your opinion as an American about what this guy said. I mean, remember, in 2008 it was $5, now it's $18 in some parts of America. We not really great lovers of fast food or McDonald's. I mean, I think I never been to a McDonald's since I moved to America.
I used to like McDonald's. I used to love Arby's.
I've been to an In-N-Out, I've been to Five Guys. But it was kind of normal to pay a little bit more in those kind of places, but
it was like about $3 to go to Five Guys.
Because with the minimum wage of $20 here in California, prices have raised over the top for fast foods, and it's becoming more expensive than going to any other kind. But what do you think about this change in culture due to
I think it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, but it's possible that soon,
But they're going to make robots go and work in the thing. And so then that's how they're going to lower the prices of everything. They're just trying to get robots. So they're going to get rid of all these workers that think they're making so much money now. They're going to be placed by robots.
Well, because
it's too expensive to keep the workers, and they're going to lose sales. And so everybody knows this already. So everybody already figured this out. We're smart enough to figure this one out.
Absolutely. But definitely nobody's going to pay $18 for garbage at McDonald's, because we all knew that this food was garbage. But
for $5, you're going to pay $5 for, that kind of food. And if that's what you can afford, unfortunately, that's what you can afford. And some people could only afford that. So, I mean, what are they going to eat now? What are they going to eat now?
I mean, they should eat maybe something more healthy. What can I say?
Food is expensive.
Absolutely.
I mean, all food is expensive now. And half of it has freaking contagions on it, like bird flu. So I got so sick the other day, guys. I ate some pork. I am never eating pork again after what happened to me. Yeah. I mean, it was just so bad. I start gagging when I think about it. And all it was a pork chop. It was so gross, and it wasn't even bad. It just tasted wrong. Mm-hmm. So it just turned me off. And now I don't know if I'm going to eat meat for a while.
Definitely.
When you eat something bad, it's like it ruins you for a while to that thing. So like for me now, I don't think I'll be eating pork ever again. I just start to gag when I think about it. So I'm not Jewish, but...
But
I have Jewish blood a little bit.
But definitely it was bad, and I'm sure that there is a lot of bad meat out there, and so even the quality is important, maybe to reduce your consumption, you know.
We shouldn't say reduce your consumption of meat, because that's what they say.
No, but when you don't have any quality meat and you can't afford
it. But I thought it was quality.
I mean,
it was from Trader Joe.
No. It's not, forget the brands or whatever. It's not quality stuff. In any case, that's how it is. You save a little.
And then I heard that RFK had a worm in his brain from eating uncooked pork. I heard that today. I was like, oh my God, no, I'm really never going to eat pork.
Now, that is really something. It came out in the news this week. It was all over the news. But when you hear about the whole thing that he went through, basically eating uncooked pork produced this worm that ate part of his brain. I mean, it's just... That should make everybody go kosher or halal, if you want to say it in the Muslim way. I mean, eating pork is okay, and I love eating pork, but...
I mean, some bacon, especially on my hamburger, but I don't know. I'll still eat bacon, but I'm starting to gag now. Can we stop talking about this?
Okay, that's how it is. Well, we are in a difficult page here. And in the second part of the show, we're going to have also the whole thing about the robots that they are creating, which is going to be very shocking, guys. It's 8 minutes inside a factory. A $30 billion factory in China, which is also partly a museum, where there is an ongoing production of humanoid robots, which are basically going to become the army of the Antichrist. In the meantime, north of Israel is on fire. North of Israel is on fire because now the second crisis is opening up with Hezbollah attacking. You see, Hamas is Gaza, and Hamas is now restricted to Rafah. And of course, they are risking extinction. But these people will never be extinct. Fundamentalism doesn't really also distinguish factions that might be, like Hamas is Sunni, Hezbollah is Shiite. So definitely there is the hand of Iran in this attack. So in the last few hours, the north of Israel is under attack by Hezbollah. This will probably mean a reaction in the coming days or weeks by Israel. The fact that we see the north of Israel on fire, large parts of the north of Israel on fire, means that definitely there is going to be a reaction, and so a new front, because only 10 days ago Israel said to Hezbollah, well, you try to do what you have in mind in north of Israel, you're going to have a summer of hell. You know, we're going to raid you, and we're going to... So this is going to definitely increase the instability in the Middle East. In the meantime, we have, of course, the Democrats, the Democrats, who seem to be in a state of panic, including Carville, the Democrat strategist. This guy is... I hate him.
And Trump's more ahead than he's ever been. Fewer people think January 6th was any kind of what it was, is an assault on the temple of democracy, the Constitution. I don't know whatever the fuck you want to say. It's going the wrong way. It's not working. Everything that we're throwing is spaghetti at a wall. and none of it.
I like this
spaghetti at a wall. Spaghetti at a wall.
Terrible. But this Democrat knows that they're failing with all the judiciary try to get Trump to fail, Trump to basically give up on his presidential race is failing. And of course, this guy is admitting it.
It's sticking, me included. And it's hard when you start in your 80th year and you know, like anybody else, I have an opinion of myself. And the opinion I've come to is I don't matter. It doesn't matter. You can prepare, you can be on TV, or you can write pieces, you can have a YouTube channel, you can have a podcast, and nothing. And you know, we gotta like try to think of something different, because what we're doing is really
something different. This is what worries me, because this guy is a strategist with Obama and all those people. What is it? What they want to do? Want to ignite a civil war later on? Do they want to create the conditions for another election? I don't want to even say it here because we are still on YouTube, but we are now getting out of YouTube, guys. Yay. Get immediately on Rumble. Get your ass on Rumble right now.
Let's go ready to Rumble.
Ready to Rumble for the second part of the show on Rumble and X at Ordo Illuminatore Universalis. You can find the X Twitter handle description on the description of this video, also on your YouTube. I see there is still a few people on YouTube. Move immediately to X or to Rumble, because
you're gonna miss the best part of the show.
So. Absolutely, absolutely. So
don't stay here.
No. So
this is Orwellville, so you have to go over.
We can't. I mean,
this is all 1984
right
here.
I can't.
We can't breathe over here. So
that's
we have
it.
To go over
and
there.
We have to discuss a lot of important things that we can't discuss on YouTube. So, for all those people who are too lazy to move on to Rumble, to X, that's it, guys. But yeah. For the others, here we go, and here we go, of course, with Vincenzo Viceversa Medieval, which is important. We used to play it.
I missed it in the beginning. It's my Saturday night tune.
In that time, our world has taken so many steps in the wrong direction. Negative utopia, science, technology, social organization, dehumanization. In the negative utopia, science, technology, social organization.
Second part of our show.
Second
part of the show. Finally, guys, we can be more open about things.
We can breathe.
We can also tell you the truth about all the COVID BS and the vaccine that was pushed on us. Because, guys, they really tried to push on us an insane amount of rubbish during the pandemic, and this clip sums it up.
COVID is back in the news.
Are you hearing people are quite nervous about getting the vaccine?
One of the professors who worked on the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine is a paediatrician who is one of the most intelligent, sensible and honest people I know. And I spoke to him. I was lucky enough to speak to him because I worked in a documentary that looked at the Oxford vaccine. And do you know what? There is no conspiracy. There is no fake news.
The AstraZeneca COVID vaccine is being withdrawn worldwide after the pharmaceutical giant admitted it causes a rare and dangerous side effect.
Government had no capacity to enforce any of this. You must wear a mask. And people wore masks in New York. But if they said, I'm not wearing a mask, there was nothing I could do about it.
Masks have been mandatory since April, and a fine for not wearing one took effect this week.
It was really all voluntary.
Wear a mask. It is the law, and the law is the law.
People who have got conspiracy, maybe anti-vax views, who believe now that they were deliberately misled over these vaccines. They've been developed quickly because we've sped up the process to make it more efficient. We've still had all the safety checks in place. That has not been compromised.
AstraZeneca admits its COVID vaccine can cause rare blood clots.
Based on all the information we had, there was not enough to say that it was down to the vaccine.
Dr. Marco Cavallari, head of anti-infectives and vaccines for the EMA, told the Italian newspaper Il Messaggero, quote, it is becoming more and more difficult to affirm that there isn't a cause and effect relationship between AstraZeneca vaccines and the very rare cases of blood clots associated with a low level of platelets.
You know, you talk about like, you know, cancel culture and who to shame. Ivermectin, a dewormer, really?
They are shaming themselves. No one has to shame them. They're shaming themselves.
No, they need to be shamed. Yeah. They need to be called out and shamed, yeah. Brother.
I am taking a regular dose of ivermectin. Ivermectin was a boogeyman early on in COVID.
You couldn't talk about it.
That was wrong. We were given bad information about ivermectin.
You're going to question the vaccine, but you want to take a horse dewormer.
Those clots happened for lots of other reasons, and they weren't happening at a higher rate than we would expect at that time.
Germany, France, Spain, and Italy are all taking the precautionary measure of suspending use of the vaccine because of fears about possible side effects, including blood clots. The AstraZeneca vaccine has already been suspended in the Netherlands, Ireland, Iceland, Bulgaria, Denmark, and Norway.
And it was extraordinary when you think about it that society acted with that uniformity voluntarily.
Wear a mask. It is the state law. It's not an option.
Crazy, guys. Crazy. I mean, everybody went into this compliance mode. I personally didn't, and we never got vaccinated, but a lot of people in Italy got vaccinated and they got damaged also here in America, in Italy especially because they had AstraZeneca. And AstraZeneca, it's really now...
Did your mother take that?
No. Fortunately, not AstraZeneca. But people who did take AstraZeneca had all problems and some people died, and it's terrible. I mean, guys, compliance. What compliance does to the human being.
But what about those people that were forced to take it because of their jobs or forced to quit their job because they were
nowadays they can sue their companies and they can get a lot of money. So I mean,
I remember hearing of a lot of people that had to quit their job because they didn't want to comply. Absolutely. You know,
I mean, but compliance, that was all about compliance, guys, and complying to these idiots, people like this guy.
Really not working.
Yeah, well, it's not working, in fact. Your BS is not working any longer. The Democrats are losing. Trump was very successful today in New Jersey, there on the beach with thousands of people. There is a lot of support for Donald J. Trump. One of his great mistakes was definitely endorsing the vaccines, but he himself has admitted that was a mistake. And of course, He had Dr. Fauci, but also the scarf lady. Don't you remember the scarf lady?
Yeah. Made a headline today pulling the vaccine. They say it's because the demand curve isn't there anymore. There are other products. Other people say it's because the other products are better than their monkey based one, and that has less side effects than AstraZeneca. And it has motivated people's paranoia about vaccines. What is your opening statement about whether or not the COVID vaccines were effective and whether they are safe compared to most vaccines?
They were very effective for what they were supposed to be used for, which was prevent
to kill people. I mean, this woman, really, guys, I mean, what a criminal. And she didn't even respect her own guidelines when she went out with her family. She was an hypocrite. Now she's not wearing the scarf anymore. She's wearing this thing to cover her rancid neck. That's an evil woman.
Severe disease and hospitalization and deaths. And that's what the vaccines were studied to do in this country, and that's what they did. Now, the question, you're asking a broader question because a lot of people were immunized that weren't in those high-risk groups. And that's why there has to be this transparent panel and discussion. But AstraZeneca, I mean, I just want to take a second to step back. The private sector did amazing things for us in the public sector during COVID. They made us test within weeks of us asking for it. They made us monoclonal antibodies. They made us antivirals, and they made us vaccines all within the first 9 months. That's extraordinary. What AstraZeneca is saying, and I think pretty clearly, they didn't make a second generation vaccine against the new strains. And so rightly, the use of that went way down. And so they should be saying, we're not going to make the new strain. And so we're not any longer going to make the old strain. That makes total sense. I do believe, and that's what you're getting at, were there issues with the vaccines when you've immunized millions, close to billions of people? Tracking that will give us critical information, because what I love that you had Sean on, and he made the point, a lot of his symptoms are similar to long COVID symptoms. Well, that makes total sense. That happens often with immunizations, that if the natural disease can cause it, then it also can sometimes be seen in certain profiles of the vaccine. We should be studying that right now. Tell the people with long COVID and vaccine reactions to come forward. Study their genetics. We're in the 21st century. We know how to solve these issues, but we're not
but
really
do you
bringing
believe,
all the...
So not only people got reactions, but now they have to play the some experimental role because they felt sick after that. I mean, that is totally outrageous. Guys, the most insane thing that I've seen recently in the news of the week that I was preparing for this show was the fact that they are preparing a vaccine for something that doesn't exist. Basically, in a bid for the next pandemic, they are creating a vaccine for something that doesn't exist. So let's check out this information on the Daily Mail, because this is getting really ridiculous. Check out, scientists create new coronavirus jab that even works on viruses they haven't even discovered yet. So, I mean, what's the point? To prepare for the next pandemic, they are basically telling you you have to vaccinate with a vaccine that even works on viruses they haven't discovered yet in a bid to beat the next. What is this? This is insanity. This is complete insanity.
But aren't they going, like, moving away from vaccines now because they suck so bad? I mean, aren't they just kind of moving away from them? Didn't they say that, doesn't this whole thing, like, they're against the vaccines?
It's not the Western vaccine. Here is also,
are they going to try to do that again?
The mRNA vaccines are definitely bad for you, but they're still encouraging people to take them for a variety of pathologies, not only for COVID. And let's continue to hear this evil doer talk.
Because we have to bear.
But is the reason because they don't want to know, that they, being the deep state, big pharma, the government, whatever boogeyman you want to fill in, because the truth is the vaccines didn't really work and there are way more side effects and more people got sick than got better as a result of it?
Well, that's why we need all the people to come forward that have had reactions, because I'm not sure all of them have been reported. Do I think it's millions? No. Could it be thousands? Yes. But there's millions of people with long COVID. So proportionally, when you look at it in an honest, data-driven way, more people have long COVID from having COVID than had vaccine reactions. That doesn't mean we shouldn't study it. Remember, you and I both remember what happened during HIV. HIV had a lot of misinformation, a lot of confusion.
Yeah, in fact, there was a Dr. Fauci there who created a lot of disinformation, and it was Dr. Fauci. Because now, conveniently, Dr. Fauci is out of the picture, you know. The guy has been accused by Rand Paul in his recent book to be the one going to the CIA headquarters in Langley just before the pandemic erupted, taking instructions on how he should conduct himself in front of a pandemic that, let's never forget, started in China, is a biological warfare weapon from China. For those people who say it didn't exist, it actually exists. And to say it doesn't exist is just basically helping China get away with murder. Remember that.
It's like we didn't learn from that. And what happened? Advocates and activists went to the streets and demanded that the government do better, and the government did. So let's demand that the government do better and bring all of this transparently to light.
Do you think that there is a legitimate basis to say, if you could do it over again, people shouldn't have had the vaccine?
There are definitive cohorts that should have and should have gotten the vaccine from the very moment.
I think that people like her, like Fauci, should be arrested. These people should be sent to a new Nuremberg trial. These people are cowards. They are shameless cowards and criminals.
I think Cuomo is too.
And Cuomo is too.
He's just a jerk. I mean, he tries to jump on the other bandwagon because they fired him. He has nothing left on the other side. So he's just trying to grab what he can on this side. And I personally don't like him. So
here we have Dr. Fauci, who basically, like most of the military industrial complex in America, knows very well that those weapons were produced in that Chinese lab, biological weapons. And they unleashed it, of course, during the Trump presidency to undermine his presidency. And that is the fact. And then we have this woman who should be arrested because she was in courts with all this. And Trump was there basically being fooled by these people. And he should never be fooled again by people like this.
And should have been prioritized. I was saying in November, please prioritize the long-term care facilities. We knew that that was...
Somebody saying the lab leak is bullshit. Of course it's bullshit. It was done willingly. It was a biological warfare attack on America and on the world to undermine the economy of America, to undermine the economy of the world, and to make China rise as the number one economy in this planet by 2030. Their intention is to construct, of course, the army of the Antichrist. And that's why the next topic we are touching is the humanoid robots being developed in China. Because you remember, I wrote that article at the end of March about how they are constructing a humanoid robot for each household in China.
So, Ground Zero, where our true elderly were residing. They needed it the most and should have gotten it first. Instead, we gave it to young nursing personnel. So when you study a vaccine to work for a specific cohort, you have to build trust by immunizing that cohort first, showing that it has the effect that you wanted. And I hope we learn those lessons, because you're absolutely right. There will be another time when we need the American people to come together and listen. And I think until we have the 9/11 commission,
the American people should just come and arrest you and tell you fuck off.
Until we've listened to each and every one of them and addressed their concerns, and they believe they were heard, people are going to continue to spread conspiracy theories. You block conspiracy theories when you let people be heard and you answer them transparently.
Yeah, sure. And you are transparent. Tell us what Dr. Fauci did. Tell us what Dr. Fauci did. Tell us about experimentations that were conducted in that lab in China. Gain of function research that was created I mean, this is incredible that these people are still working and allowed to walk this earth without any consequences. But woman, the woman in that Chinese lab, where is she now? Why nobody, where is Batwoman? No, nobody talks about it. Anyway, in China, they are preparing because China has a big problem. They force all the Chinese with the one-child policy until 2015. They literally amassed fetuses. I remember seeing this documentary with millions of fetuses amassed in mountains of fetuses. It was just disgusting because they permitted only one child for each household. Now that is...
What, did they collect them?
No, they wanted to... they are Satanists. The biggest country of Satanists in the world, believe it or not, is China. They are the dragon of the apocalypse. And they are constructing an army of robots that is going to become basically the army of the Antichrist. So here we are in this new 30 billion Chinese humanoid robot factory that has broken all records and is that really scary. It's scary. It's scary to see what I'm about to show you.
The development of humanoid robots marks an exciting phase in the history of robotics, opening up endless horizons of possibilities. This field of science and technology is rapidly advancing, bringing us closer to the creation of intelligent machines capable of interacting with the surrounding world and humans on a deeper level. Humanoid robots have the potential to become indispensable assistants in various spheres of our lives. Developed countries such as the USA, Japan, Korea, China, and many others have begun mass-producing humanoid robots. Each country aims to become a leader in the production of humanoid robots. According to the plans of most countries, mass production of ultra-realistic humanoid machines is scheduled to be established by 2025. In this video, we will explore how the most realistic humanoid robots in the world are created and discuss what they are capable of. And we will start our video from China, where robots are already being created to mimic humans down to the details of veins and goosebumps on the skin.
And remember, if you want to know more about this subject, volume 7 of my confessions, volume 6.66 also, and volume 9 are the trilogy of Cyber Satan, and of course dedicated to the subject of robotics, artificial intelligence, because people at times don't connect all the dots. Why was there a pandemic? Why they forced us indoors for so long? Why they have prepared us for something that is coming, and that Cyber Satan that is coming is going to be able, through this army of robots, to implement this dystopic future, which includes forcing every single human to receive a microchip and to be connected to the AI control world that they're planning for us. We are here, and especially with my books, to denounce all this. That's why it's very important to read volume 7, volume 9, and volume 6.66, which opened up this important trilogy, because this was the age of Cyber Satan, and of course, artificial intelligence and robotics, with this image from Metropolis of Fritz Lang, which is a visionary movie from the 1930s in Germany, 1920s in Germany, which produced some of the most visionary movies in this sense about the future. A future that, of course, will take the jobs of millions of people that would then be forced home doing what? Playing video games, doing drugs, gradually killing themselves, because that's what they want. They want to eliminate.
Was that movie Technocracy or something?
Well, that's
that was like
that pushes the idea that people are becoming more and more demented. But of course, when you let the artificial intelligence grow smarter and smarter, and the pandemic was also important for them to get data, to feed data into the machine, into the Cyber Satan. And of course, the Pope, which is a Satanist, endorsed all that He forced people to take the jab. People who wanted to work in the Vatican had to take the jab. They were forced into it.
And the AstraZeneca one too.
And he emptied St. Peter's Square and he received everybody on his own. And that was really one of the clue moments of the pandemic, no? But now let's go into the future enemy of mankind.
China has long been a global leader in everything related to technology, whether it be artificial intelligence, virtual reality, or robotics. When it comes to China, it can confidently be said, the future is already here. Let's transport ourselves to the Chinese city of Dalian, Liaoning province, to a place where robots are indistinguishable from humans. Not long ago, the EX Future and Science Museum opened there, featuring exhibits created by EX Robots Company. But this is not ordinary museum. Essentially, it's a factory housing a research and development department, as well as production and assembly lines for bionic robots capable of creating realistic and incredibly accurate replicas of any museum visitor. The Chinese company EX Robots specializes in the research and development of humanoid robots. The company was founded in 2009. In 2016, the company began researching humanoid robots. And as we mentioned earlier, the company recently opened the first robot museum in China. The team consists of 115 people, including about 30 developers. EX Robots specializes in research and development, production, sales, and maintenance of intellectual bionic humanoid robots. The company's abilities include celebrity robots, cute cartoon-like promoter robots, and pole dancing robots to attract customers to bars and clubs. Robots play a role in many areas, from service industries and trade shows to scientific and popular events. But most of all, they are used in business. In the future, the company plans to focus on customers, especially in the field of early childhood education and childcare. Each robot is unique and designed to look as realistic as possible. To create a replica robot, a person is scanned using a high-precision 3D scanner. It's enough to scan the user's head and hands because, for now, robots have a universal body differing only by gender. Gynoids, or female robots, have slimmer bodies than male ones. But on the hands, face, and other exposed parts of the body, such as robot legs, in the improvised Creo cameras displayed in the museum, the accuracy and detail reach a fantastic level. Vein patterns, lines on palms, goosebumps on the skin, all of this is reproduced from medical silicone on a 3D printer with frightening realism. The creators are also working to make touching the robot feel like touching a human. Creating a humanoid robot takes from 3 to 6 months. Many operations need to be performed. The first involves developing a human voice. Next, it's necessary to deal with 3D printing, scanning, manufacturing mechanical equipment, and applying bionic coatings. The final operation involves using a control system to edit the robot's movements. The most difficult part of creating a humanoid robot is undoubtedly designing the mechanical structure. Compared to many industrial robots on the market, the company's equipment is very small, especially for gynoids. After obtaining body shape data, the internal structure is designed according to the specified shape. The process of placing a dozen small equipment parts in a narrow space is quite challenging. Moreover, both natural and smooth movements similar to human movements need to be ensured. Robots can be controlled. Users can use the app to change the robot's facial expression or gloves to gesture with their hands. Robots resemble humans not only externally. The robot also has video tracking, which means that when someone stands in front of him, the robot will look straight at that person. Additionally, the robot can express joy or sadness, stick out its tongue, or make sad eyes. Essentially, EX Robots' feature is to create robots that are as human-like as possible. Their silicone skin is almost indistinguishable from ours, and they can perform many roles in our society, including in medicine, service industry, and education. The videos on the EX Robots channel, where robot beauties mimic and repeat the movements of communicating girls, are becoming viral. EX Robots reports that it can already produce 2,000 such humanoids annually. There is no doubt that the coexistence of humans and robots is the future we should strive for. Robots can perform many tasks at a human level. They will be integrated into all areas. One day, robots...
The future we should strive for! I mean, what the heck? This is incredible. We have even a robot like Steve Jobs, one like Albert Einstein.
They look like robots, though.
Well, at the moment, they still look pretty robotic. But this is the future army of the Antichrist. It doesn't matter how they look, because they're going to come knocking on your door, and they're going to tell you, you.
I don't even answer to humans.
You know, I mean, you see, they made a great experiment in compliance with the pandemic. But the moment in which they have these kind of robots knocking at your door, they don't care about your compliance. They're going to force you into whatever they have in mind. And the next step is to then integrate the human beings into the robotic reality through transhumanism. So they're going to push transhumanism on us, push parts of the body that are robotic, that are integrated with the AI, push the presence of the AI somehow in your body with one excuse or the other. Oh, you need to have you take your medicine. Already now you have remote controllers for people who have to take certain meds. And of course, they will force the people who are not in line with their idea of society to take certain meds, to burn their brains out and to just make them zombies. Because that's already happening when they force them into mental institutes, but then they can do it remotely. And of course, all controlled by these robots.
It will become ubiquitous. The company has also opened a hardware platform to make robots more intelligent. This is done to attract more people, especially from the business sector, to join the company for the full integration of robots into our lives. Would you like to visit such a museum or make your own robot replica? Write your answer in the comments and we move on. Let's move to South Korea, where the mass production of humanoid robots has caused a stir on the internet pages.
But now we have also South Korea. That's, of course, another place that is being used during the pandemic. You remember with their apps and stuff to track everybody to, you know. Mm-hmm. So now they are promoting new humanoid robots. And of course, then we have also Japan, which has always been fixated.
The conveyor with realistic humanoids was launched by the Korean company AmService Gluck, and the robots themselves are intended for an animatronic installation in the local brand of designer glasses, Gentle Monster, where they will mimic a robotic assembly line. All robot parts were 3D printed using SLA wide format technology with extremely realistic surface finishing, and urethane coating was also applied to ensure the durability of the photopolymer parts. The company applied a very high resolution texture to reproduce even the pores of the skin on the face of each humanoid, and extensive post-processing was required to achieve a completely realistic skin color. The process of producing humanoid robots using a 3D printer consists of several stages. First, the robot design is created. Engineers design 3D models of the robot using computer-aided design software. Next, they determine the size and quantity of materials, as well as the functionalities and capabilities of the robot. The next stage is preparing the 3D printer. It needs to be set up and calibrated for the manufacturing process, which may include installing necessary materials and ensuring the printer's proper operation. Once all the preparatory work is completed, robot printing begins. On the 3D printer, the body, limbs, and other components of the robot are printed from various materials, such as plastics, metals, or composite materials. Then comes the assembly process. After the individual parts of the robot are printed, they need to be assembled into one mechanism. This may include attaching limbs to the body, installing motors and sensors, as well as performing necessary wiring or soldering. After assembly, a series of tests are conducted to ensure that it functions correctly and meets the required specifications. If necessary, the design can be modified, and the robot can be reprinted and reassembled until a satisfactory result is achieved. Unfortunately, despite their ultra-realistic appearance, the robots are currently only art objects and...
Well, those are still art objects. Thanks God they're still art objects, those ones. But the ones in China are not really art objects, because China is moving much faster with the humanoid robot project. Like we said before, there is a couple of articles you should check out on leosagami.com. One was published at the end of March, and the other one was published just a couple of days ago. Leosagami.com is where you find my latest articles. I must apologize. I wasn't present for the whole month of April because I was too busy with my book. so I wasn't able to publish.
There's only one of you, so.
There's only one of me, and I couldn't, but I can guarantee you that we're going to move forward with a lot more material coming up on leozagami.com in the next few weeks. And in the meantime, here is another robot, Joe Biden. Yeah. His handler. Guys, now regarding the poops pants business, now because there has been a lot of talk about Joe Biden pooping his
pants. My friend Kathy sent me a video, but it looked fake.
No, no, no. I will tell you the truth here about the story that just broke. Is a guy who basically made some comments publicly about the fact that he wanted to go and steal one of these nappies in the White House.
Why?
I don't know. Biden's nappies.
Why?
I don't know. But in any case,
I'm sure they exist, but why do you want one?
I know. But the Secret Service took this as a threat to Biden's security. And so they went and arrested the guy and interviewed him. I don't know. It's just a crazy story, but yeah, this is what happened.
He made a threat against his adult diaper.
Yeah, the diaper. Yeah, he said he would like to go into the White House to take one of Joe Biden's diaper, and that is.
Maybe he's one of those sickos that likes stuff with diapers. Remember Benjamin Fulford? He said he liked to wear a diaper.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he liked to wear a diaper, and then he liked to. Like go to these places where they can change him.
Some sick stuff because he lives in Japan and they're pretty sick over there. In any case,
he wears a diaper.
Joe Biden wears a diaper. It's pretty visible that he's wearing a diaper. Do ba 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 do do ba do 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 a boo ba do ba do boo boo ba do a do ba do ba do a do ba do ba do 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 a do ba do ba do a do ba do ba do ba do ba do a do ba do ba do a do ba do ba do ba do. A do ba do ba do do ba do ba do.
They're really showing themselves to do really well.
Yeah, sure. Joe Biden, they call him in Italy because of the bidets, but they don't have bidets in America, so the joke doesn't really translate that well here in America. Anyway, this happened instead in St. Petersburg. Now, I've been many times in St. Petersburg. I know this city. I know actually this bridge. Which is not far away from where Rasputin was killed. Look at what happens to this bus. This guy must have definitely been drinking way too much because 3 people ended up dying. Here we have a bus. Okay, look what happens next.
Oh my God. Why?
6 people injured, 3 people died. I mean, this must be the worst bus driver of all times. It's just, how is it possible to do something like this? I mean, it could have stopped way before.
Why
did he turn into the river? Well, our prayers go with, of course, the survivors of this tragic situation. But definitely the guy must have drunk way too much vodka. That's for sure. Because that's the only possibility. Now, in Europe, we have the Eurovision.
The Eurovision. I hate that.
I hate Eurovision. It's completely trash. And there was a lot of talk about, the banning the Israeli singer. In the end, the Swiss singer won, a guy who is whatever. But in any case, it was filled with Satanists, including the representative of Ireland. Check this out.
I cried with my team.
She went there, she cried, she went there with this typical Palestinian scarf. You know, she didn't want, of course, she was not happy about the fact that the Israeli singer was allowed to sing. What a Satanist. Remember, when you are saying to me I'm a Zionist because I don't support these Palestinian thugs and their whatever supporters, look at them. What do you think? What person is this? A witch. A witch. A complete witch. The Leo Zagami Show with Leo and Christy Zagami. We had some severe solar storm. Fortunately, it didn't interrupt any power grid up until now. We were able to broadcast with no problems. There was some incredible images, though, that were due to the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights, even in the Bay Area here in California.
You didn't have fog. You might have seen the Northern Lights in the Bay Area. Here are some new images from Yountville, Santa Clara County, and here in San Francisco. One of the strongest solar storms in decades is behind the light show. ABC 7 News reporter Lauren Martinez went to Chabot Space and Science Center.
Look up the sky and just think, like, wow, what is
that? Wow.
I've never seen that ever.
Well, it's incredible that the Northern Lights, I mean, I saw them in Iceland. I saw them in Norway. It's quite normal.
Is it at night or is it in the morning or is it during the night? When is it?
Well, happening? I mean, it was not visible from here. You have to be from Northern California and other states.
But when you saw it, when you view it in the night, or is
well,
it-
even in some places of course, Iceland, even in the day, because then the night becomes the day and the day becomes the night. You know, there is longer days and the shorter nights. So I remember seeing them in Iceland many, many years ago for the first time. It was, I think, a month of February. It was quite impressive. But I will never imagine that to have to actually see them here in America. And apparently they were warning people, you know, that there might be some disturbances on the power grid, on the satellites. But fortunately, nothing happened. So up until now, we can say it was a nothing burger. But having said that, of course, we have to still...
my cross stitch that I made, it has Northern Lights on it. I want to go get it because it has a Northern Lights.
Ah, okay.
Wait, I'll be right back, guys.
Okay. Well. It was definitely
3 million miles away, but the violent eruptions on the sun are about to provide a spectacular night show to a lot of Earthlings.
And it was definitely an incredible night.
I just want to show you my cross stitch. Yeah. I started it like in 2021 during the pandemic, and I just finished it. It was a gauntlet of cross stitch. Oh my god, look at this thing. I made it for my son Nick. Oh. It has some Northern Lights on it. I still have to do the outline
it has
the Northern Lights. It's the only ones I've ever seen. But I have to do the outline of it. But it took me years to do this.
It was worth it. It was worth it,
though.
Absolutely.
I put a lot of stitches of love in there for my son. Oh, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
Yes.
I was actually waiting for my flowers, but they never arrived. So I guess.
What happened with the flowers?
I don't know. I have my phone here. I was waiting because my son Tony sent me some flowers, but they never arrived. I don't know what happened to them.
What happened to the flowers?
I don't know. Where's my. Wait, what did he say? No, nobody got the flowers. I guess they're going to come tomorrow.
Okay.
Nothing comes on time anymore. Have you noticed that? that's a
big problem. Now, before we end up this broadcast, there is a big scandal. Well, a big scandal. This Italian idiot went into a strip club, lost a couple of his mobile phones there, and then entered into an argument with the American police. He said, "I have rights." This, he was being very confrontative. So in the end, they arrested him, and then he was brought into a Miami prison cell. And the Italian media is outraged. This is what happened inside the prison cell. Horror in Miami. So the guy now is being given 6 months of community work from June, but he's allowed to go back to Italy for a brief time just to be checked by the Italian authorities. But I repeat,
stand up.
The guy did all the wrong things. He even tried to bribe the policeman.
Me favor, stand forward.
Now, this has created a sort of diplomatic scandal between America and Italy.
Okay, so it doesn't lock anymore. All right? I understand that. I'm going to make... Hold on.
What a sissy boy. So he was being very confronted. First, he was very.
All right. Have a seat. Sit down.
Well, he made a big error. I mean, when he was in front of the strip club, he touched the police badge. No, the police,
the badge.
Yeah, he touched it. He got in a, basically in a direct confrontation with the police by doing that. He was not used to, and he was being a little bit confrontational. You saw the video, I showed it to you. We should get the video and maybe show it to you the next time. Anyway, the guy, like I said, is now been sent back to Italy, but he was going to have to do 6 months of community service here in America starting from June. But it is an ongoing problem between Italy and America. I don't know about that because, guys, I'm American these days. I'm no longer Italian.
We are going to drain the swamp in Washington, D.C.
Ecco, guys, I got even my American passport.
Yeah, he got his American passport.
Got my American passport, guys. Now, you know, before you could say, no, is he there? Now I'm American. In fact, the great thing about my new book is being written with an American perspective. And Casey said, you really actually sound more American in this new book.
Oh, yeah, it was better because you're American now. Everything's better when you're... Okay, I won't say that. I won't say that because there's an international audience and we're all great. If we love God, we're all great.
Absolutely. But in any case, God bless America, because this is the country that has allowed me to not be dragged down to the abyss like Italy and Europe that wanted
to get
me arrested, to get me punished for what I wrote in my books.
Screw them. Screw you, Italy.
And Europe, because Europe is nowadays a Fourth Reich, like I say and describe it in my book, volume seven. It is the Fourth Reich. There was the Third Reich with Adolf Hitler. Now there's the Fourth Reich with Ursula von der Leyen and with those technocrats in Brussels. Thank you, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being here with us.
Here comes the devil.
Guys, did you know? Can you hear me? Did you know that Zagami has MAGA in the middle? Magan,
no. It's a natural surname. To make America great again.
No, why don't you stop your hesitating? You're gonna be a long time dead, so the devil with the devil says I. You're always giving me the dickens, telling me that life's no easy pickings. But just as long as I have fun, why the devil with the
books,
devil says
the books,
I.
The books, the books, the books.
You can have your social teas and bingo for your fun. But the things I like to do, you stop me one by one. Now even if you make me stronger, that ain't gonna make me live no longer. So even if I go to the devil with the devil says I.
Hi everyone!
Rambo, Rambo, Rambo is sleeping.
I don't know if I'm getting him. Is he looking? Is he looking? Alright, I'll go get him.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. No worries, no worries. Rambo!
Look for you. I love you and you wanted you.
Here, here, here. Okay. Next week with the Leo Zagami Show.